Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. And this week we are joined by two really amazing people that I got to meet at the Dome in 2025. And these two are just very, very special, and I couldn't wait to get them on. So let's bring in Garrett McHugh and Emma Bruno. You guys ready to go for a run?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah, recovery's a little bit long after you do something long with that, like that, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it was. I knew it was gonna be bad, but jumped out a little too early and had to back off for a couple more days. But yeah. We're slowly easing into it.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves, what you do when you're not out running wild, crazy distances. And Garrett, you go first.
All right. Well, I work in tech. I'm a data engineer. So that's what I do, day-to-day stuff. But in my free time, I like to tinker with electronics. I'm into 3D printing and just trying to create whatever I can in that sense. But then other than that, yeah, walking our dog, playing with him. And then most of the other times, just running and sleeping.
Awesome. Awesome. And are you guys in the Chicago area? Is that right?
Yes. Yes. We are in Lincoln Park in Chicago.
But not cool. For long.
Not all right. Can't wait to hear about that. So Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of running, I work in digital marketing, and I have for the past couple of years. And I also teach and practice yoga. So that definitely keeps me busy. And I feel like it is something that everyone's always like, oh, you got to stretch, you can't just run. So that's like pretty built into my lifestyle, which is really nice. And I really enjoy the community that I have through yoga and the studio that I teach at. And then otherwise, yeah, outside of that, I love thrifting. I'm a huge thrifter. So I spend, 3-4 hours in a thrift store just trying to find, cool items. I got a lot of the gear that I run in from the thrift store for myself and Garrett. So it's always the thrill of what you can find that keeps me coming back.
That is awesome. My wife just fell in love with you. She is a huge thrift store fan as well. So there you go.
I
that is
love
cool.
That.
It's funny because, we spent a little bit of time overseas, and before we went, I was professional sales and I always bought new clothes, and we got back from, spending time overseas, and Jenny started getting into the thrift stores, and I realized, why do I want to pay $40 for a pair of slacks when she can go to the thrift store and get the same pair of slacks for $5? And
Yep.
so ever since I don't, it's been a long time since we bought like new clothing. It doesn't make any sense.
It's pretty much just running shoes really that we buy.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Like, oh, we can thrift it, or even find it on Poshmark or eBay when you have something really specific that you're looking for. But yeah, I used to spend a lot of time thrifting with my dad growing up. So
that is awesome. All right. So for those of you who don't recognize the Bruno name, so Emma is the daughter of Tony Bruno, who is a pretty well-known and pretty awesome ultra runner in his own aspect. So, and if you recognize that last name and you were thinking about it, yes, she's the daughter, and she's definitely got it in her blood, as we could tell from the Dome experience. All right, so now, is your background, do you guys have like a background in running, or like were you runners your whole lives, or how did this come about?
So we both played soccer growing up as our primary sport. However, in 6th through 8th grade, I ran cross country for the team where I was and really enjoyed it. And then just soccer took too much time, so I had to dedicate more toward that. So I had to step away from cross country. But yeah, now that collegiate athletics are behind us, we found our way back to running and enjoying it.
Yeah, I'll say from my end too, I grew up playing soccer, all throughout college. Garrett and I met in college playing soccer. However, I chose the only position where you don't really have to run. I was a goalkeeper. So okay. I always hated running. It was always a punishment and I was always last. So yeah, it wasn't until like after college that I kind of started dabbling a bit in running just for leisure, and then really seriously got into my running last year.
Okay. So now what kind of led the two of you into starting to kind of take running a little more seriously?
For me, it was honestly mental health, just trying to get out the door every day. It really keeps me feeling normal. So whether that be a mile, which I've been doing after the dome through recovery, just to keep checking that box, or 20, 30 miles for a long run on the weekend. But yeah, just the consistency, just to feel normal, I guess, for
Okay.
me. Oh, and I also enjoy just the longer distance. So
Oh, really?
yeah, just trying to push myself as long as I can was why I kind of led to the ultra events instead of like doing 5Ks, 10Ks.
So, have you run any marathons, 5Ks, 10Ks, or just training runs?
In 2019, I did my first 50K. I was in the tail end of college there. And then after that, kind of fell off, kind of got in the corporate world, got busy there trying to juggle life. And then got back into it this last year or so. And yeah, that's just that 50K and all just training runs pretty much.
Wow.
So,
And what
yeah.
about you, Emma? Are you the same?
Yeah, I am. So I did my first 50K in December. So, not too long ago, but similar to Garrett, I've run one 5K in my life before that, and it
Okay.
was a terrible experience. I like for running one to, keep myself in a good headspace, but two, I've spent a lot of I'm the youngest of five siblings, so when my sister's kids like needed babysat, like I was always there. I'm always like trying to step up and help out with everybody. But for running, it's cool that I get to, spend my time and energy on myself instead of giving it all to others. So it's a way to just like, keep promises to myself like, hey, I'm running 20 miles this weekend. Yes, I can come hang out with you, but I got to do my 20 miles first because that's the promise I made to myself.
It's awesome. So when you guys go out for your long runs on the weekend, what's your favorite kind of surface to run on?
So right now we live in Lincoln Park in Chicago, so we are pretty much just on the lakefront path, which is mostly like paved. There's a little bit of crushed gravel for portions of it, but that has been where we've done the majority of our training. So just flat path along the lake, but we are excited to get out on trails with our move coming up.
Okay, so let's jump into this. Where are you guys moving?
We're moving to Colorado Springs.
Wow.
Garrett's sister lives out there, and we have visited several times. And every time we visit, we go on all these adventures, all these hikes, climbing, whitewater rafting, all these outdoor activities. And it's just the same every time as we never want to leave. And things have just lined up where we just kind of have the opportunity to have the chance to not have to leave.
That's awesome. So, are you moving out there with your current jobs, or are you starting new things out there, or what?
We are keeping the current jobs. We were able to work remote, which is a huge blessing. So we don't have to change up too much in terms of work and stuff.
That is so awesome.
We're very excited.
Yeah, got better climbing legs now.
That is so cool. All right. So,
Yeah, definitely
first
gonna stretch for the
50Ks out of the way in December, right? I mean, Garrett had one before, but then you both ran. Did you run the same 50K in December?
Oh, that was a solo endeavor for me. It was actually kind of down your way in South Carolina. My dad
Okay.
lives in Hilton Head, so I ran the Buffalo Run 50K, and
Okay.
everyone was like, "Oh, is Garrett running with you? Is your dad running with you?" And I was like, "Nope, it's all about me."
That's awesome.
That was my whole thing with it. So, but it was really cool because Garrett and my dad, and his wife Melissa were there to crew me. So it was really cool because I crewed Garrett on his first ultra. I've crewed my dad for several. So it was really nice to be on the other end of things. Yeah, I mean, the race that I ran, it was five loops, five
Okay.
10K. So it was nice because we just like had a tent set up and I had all my nutrition, fuel, everything there. So I was just like, cool. The first lap, I made it back to them and I was like, sweet, so good to see you guys. I kind of knew what I needed. They are a great crew. They were on it and they really helped me get in and out really quickly, which was one of my goals. And I was really just trying to move fast and I surprised myself. I was the second overall female at that race and half of it, well, okay, I'll give myself more credit. Probably like 70% running, 30% crew.
Wow. That's awesome. Cool. Second female. So your first 50K, Garrett, how did your first 50K go?
It was good. I felt like I was in over my head halfway through the race. Went out a little too hot. I feel like a common theme with people running their first ultras.
Well, and you had climbing too.
Yeah, we had about 2 to 3,000 feet of gain. This was in Ohio when we lived
Okay.
out there for school. So we had a little bit more technical terrain and stuff like that. But yeah, it was overall good. I ended up finishing third overall. Almost had second, but kind of died toward the end. Nutrition kind of got the best of me.
Okay.
Blowing through an aid station when I was feeling good really caught up to me in the end. But yeah, overall, it was a great experience. Learned a lot.
Okay. So now I got to set the stage here. So why did you sign up to run the 48 hours in the dome?
We were at the Dome last year. My dad, he set one of his American age group records. He did the 24-hour invitational last year and he wanted to hit 100 miles, which he did in 15 hours and some change. And that was probably 3 or 4 weeks into us starting to run. And we were just enamored by the Dome. We thought that it was just the most unique like experience. When we got back, we were watching the live stream of the 6 and 10 day runners. Like, we were really, really into it just because we thought it was very cool. I mean, the Mikes and Bill that run the show there are awesome people. We got to spend some time chatting with them. And so we were like, wow, like maybe we could do something like that one day. And my dad was like, yeah, you guys should just sign up for the 48 hour. Like, if you want to run 100, you should do the 48, just because at the time, I mean, I was running like 4 or 5 miles, so I didn't think I could even get 100 miles, but he was like, you'll have 48 hours to do it. Like, you can definitely do it. So then, yeah, we signed up for it, and I still had my race ahead of me, my 50K. So I didn't think really too much about the Dome until the beginning of this year, where I think it was on your mind for sure.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely on my mind.
So did you guys change? Well, how did you train to run around in circles for 48 hours?
We did a lot of our training runs, our long runs on the back-to-back long runs on the weekend, on our local track here. It's like 4 miles away, so we'd either just run there and then get 15, 20 miles on the track and run home, or we'd pack up the car and drive the couple miles there, and we would do 25 straight on the track, just practicing going around in circles, shutting your mind off, and running.
So, did
Yeah.
you find that training, especially the mental part of turning your mind off to the, going around in circles, did that help you come race day?
Yeah, I'd say for me it definitely did, 'cause I think I got through the worst parts of this is boring, I want to quit, like during our training runs, to where when I got to the Dome, I knew what to expect around 2 to 3 hours. I'd kind of be like, what am I doing? And then you push through that and just kind of accept the fact that this is where you're going to be for the next 24 to 48 hours and make the most of it, which I think we really did well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys did amazing. I mean, especially in the early part of the race. I mean, you guys were so steady. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, thank you. It was, I mean, a lot of our training runs. So my dad is our coach. No surprise there.
Yeah, I was gonna say
He's an
that
awesome.
makes sense.
Yeah. So we feel very lucky that I could literally call him day or night. Dad, my foot hurts. What do I do? Dad, my toenail's falling off. All these things. But he had us, he gave us a really good roadmap of, I think you had a conversation with him when he said, you guys got to put down 20 milers every weekend.
Yeah, this was back in December, and I was starting to pick up my mileage, starting to get towards like 50, 60 miles a week. And my long runs were just shy of 20, and I was talking to Tony about it, and he said, if you want to be an ultra runner and you want to like succeed at 100, you got to be doing 20 miles every week. No questions asked, just that's got to be the bare minimum to, especially early on, to just get your body and mind used to it. So we got back. First of the year, we ran 20 miles, start the year off,
We
and
ran 20.25 for
yeah.
2025.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
then, yeah. And then from then on out, just every weekend, at least one 20 miler, sometimes two back to back. I think I counted when we got to the Dome that weekend before that, I think we ran between 22 to 24
20
20 milers
miles.
this year so far,
Oh,
in
wow.
preparation. I think really helped mentally.
Yeah, I think doing them, every week for the most part, then that was the norm. Like running
Right.
for 3.5 hours was like, okay, I can do this. I do this once or twice a week. So it, and at the beginning, it was hard. I have a couple, like last summer, I was like bringing out my GoPro and being like, hey guys, I'm running 14 miles. This is my longest run ever. And then it's like the next weekend, I was like 16 miles. Like I've never run this far. So it was really cool to like see the progression. And then when I finally, was hitting 20s, that was after my 50K hitting multiple 20s. But yeah, now it feels like, okay, yeah, I can, no questions asked, run for 3.5 hours.
Okay. So take us to the start line in the dome. You guys are lining up. Was the intention to hit 100, or was the intention to see how you felt at 100 and possibly keep on going? Or what was the thought process as you were standing on the line on, you started Thursday morning, right?
Yes, we started Thursday morning. For me personally, my A goal was to get 100 in under 24, and then, if possible, keep going the best I could the second day. No idea how I was going to feel. I had no idea I was going to feel 50 miles in the race, let alone 100 in. So, since it was all uncharted territory, but so I was suffering with some knee pain, some foot pain, as you do probably, and every 100. And once I got there, I took a break, and I think I might have braked a little too long. I took a shower, trying to refresh in, and was going to try and keep going, but everything just kind of locked up on me. And I ended up walking, I think, 2 or 3 more miles trying to loosen it up. But I was happy with my results of a sub 24. Just kind of wanted to end it on a high note and not injure myself, I guess, trying
Sure.
to grind out the next 18 hours or 20 hours.
And what about you,
Yeah.
Emma?
I had a pretty similar, I think as I was gearing up for it, people would ask, about the race, and I'm like, oh, it's however far you can go in 48 hours. But I think deep in the back of my mind, the whole reason I signed up for the 48 hours at the dome was to get 100 miles, because that's like a huge goal, I think, of like a lot of ultra runners is their first 100 miler. And so I was just like, okay, get to 100 and then kind of assess. And for me, once I was at like 90, 93, I was like death marching in. So there wasn't too much hope of me continuing on. I know you were, we were together for my last couple miles, at my last lap, actually. You saved the day. You allowed me to use your phone so I could call my crew and say, hey, this is my last lap, you guys. I'm about to hit 100.
Oh, that was
And so, yeah,
exciting.
it was really exciting. And it was, I, as we were gearing up, my dad went from, yeah, like Garrett, I think you can do 100 and under 24. And like Emma, on a good day, I think you can do it. And so I was like, oh, like maybe I can do it too. And it was the sleep for me. I needed it. I couldn't go without it.
Okay.
So that's a piece that I think in, obviously in future races will be something I will work on to try and get that under 24. But 28 hours, super happy with the result because I did run 100 miles.
Yeah. And I mean, your first 128 and sub 24 first 100, that's pretty awesome numbers from you two. They're really very impressive.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Yeah, all we kept thinking of, especially later in the races, I think it was like 4 minutes and 4 seconds a lap. Since we started so strong, we were trying, we were, our goal was to kind of start strong with the pace that we're normally used to on our long runs, and naturally it'll fade out, but that would kind of buy us some time that we could rest and kind of bank some time so we can run, walk some laps. And it was just keeping our eye on every lap time to try and stay on pace for that 404. But I think if we were going to do it again next year or another year, do another 48, definitely would go out a little slower and try and definitely see how long we could go for the full 48 instead of phasing out after 100 miles.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to see you guys back there and do it again. It'd be an absolute blast to see you there again.
Yeah, it's definitely on our radar and our calendar because I think we have a special place in our heart for the dome.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there were a lot of people that were doing like the 6 and 10 day that we met last year. So it was really, really cool to see some of those folks again. And, we got really invested and we would chat with them a little bit and then we're following along. So it was really cool to share some miles with some of those folks. I don't know if you know Christine
Yes.
Yoon. I spent a lot of time and learned a lot from her just about multi-day events. She was trying to help me with, like, if this doesn't sound good for you to eat right now, what about this? What about that? It was really nice to chat with her and just get a different perspective. My dad has his way of doing things, which is phenomenal, and it works really, really well for him, but he's also been running for longer than I've been alive. So it's nice to also learn a little bit as I go on my own, too.
We're both very stubborn. We just wanted to be steady, try and die out as little as possible. We knew it was going to happen just from fatigue and never running that long. But yeah, I just tried to keep marching forward as best as we could. And
There you go.
yeah,
So,
knew it
Emma,
was going
did
to
you
hurt.
actually take a sleep break?
I did. I slept. So when I hit 70 miles, it was, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m. I looked at my dad and I said, "Listen, I'm not gonna get this in under 24 hours, and I need to go to bed." And he was like, "Well, like you're gonna hurt a lot more when you wake up. You're gonna be stiff. You're gonna." And I'm like, "All right." And in hindsight, he was like, "Yeah, I should have known when you said you needed to sleep, you needed to sleep." He's like, "When you were little, you would come home from preschool and put yourself down for a nap because you were tired." I am very big on sleep, 9+ hours. Like, sleep is very vital to me. It's free recovery too. So the more you
My
sleep,
wife
the
is
better
so
you.
gonna fall in love with you because my wife is like, 10 hours minimum of sleep a night is what I need, and I might need a nap at lunchtime. So
Yes.
Yeah, sounds
So
like
yeah, that is definitely me. And so I, should I have maybe had another coffee in the evening? Should I, have tried? I don't know. I just was at the point where I couldn't, my eyes were shutting as I was moving, and I was like, okay. So I did. I pulled out my sleeping bag, my yoga mat, and I slept for maybe like an hour, and then I got up. Wasn't terribly stiff. I was just really cold, so I, geared up after 2 laps, took everything else off, all my hat, gloves, all that jazz, and I made it 5 more miles before I needed to sleep again. Guess it wasn't long enough for me. My dad's like, "Make it to 80," and I'm like, "It's coming." And so, yeah, so I probably slept for maybe 1 hour and 45 minutes, but once I woke up that second time, I was like, "We're finishing this thing." And then at that point, I was like, "Well, shit, now Garrett's what, 15 miles ahead of me?" Not that we're racing each other, but I was like, "Damn, okay," like gave me motivation to not to catch back up, but just to, I guess, like not lose any more time.
Okay. Now, was the other couple there? Was that your parents, Garrett?
Yeah, that was my parents. That's their second race crewing.
That's awesome. And then, did you have a bunch of friends come in to sort of surprise you? Did you know they were coming in?
Oh, we thought they might, but in the middle of the night, I kind of texted them, letting them know that we weren't quite sure how much longer we were going to be going because they were under the impression we were going for the full 48, which is what we were kind of telling people. We weren't going to let our minds quit before we
Right.
physically couldn't go. So I kind of warned them, like, not sure if we'll be going much longer after we hit 100, and they didn't care. They came up, and yeah, they just wanted to see what it was all about, and they were loving it.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
it's Garrett's childhood
Yep.
best friend.
Yep.
You guys have known each other since what, preschool?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wow.
and then his girlfriend, and they're into like CrossFit, lifting, that kind of thing. So one time they did a CrossFit competition and it was in downtown Chicago. And we were like, "Yeah, for sure. Like, we're gonna come support you guys," just to kind of see what that was all about. So I think they were like, "Well, now we gotta come support you guys." But
That's
it was
awesome.
really cool to have them there, some fresh energy on Friday. And they got to see my finish, which was really cool.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
he's a physical therapist, so I kept joking I got my own personal PT on site. It was good to have him there.
Did he help you put everything back together, Garrett?
Yeah, I just signed a little like whatever's bothering me, kind of letting him know and do this stretch or do this exercise. And
Yeah, throughout training, like
yeah, he helped a little bit.
we would message him. I'd be like, "Hey, Gavin, I don't know what's wrong. Like my back." And he's like, "All right, these are the 3 exercises that you need to be doing." So definitely like really appreciated that. I feel like we have a very strong, not only crew, but just like support system outside of just race day, which is really special. We have a lot of like our siblings are like super supportive and encouraging. Our nieces and nephews, like they they were watching the live stream, like really into it, which was so cool. Like friends and family were commenting. So it was really awesome. Like I felt like a total celebrity.
That's awesome. That's got to be a great feeling.
Mostly people were like, at least my mom and my siblings are like, so why? Why are you doing this? Like, why would you put yourself through that? And I'm like, well,
It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were wondering the same thing ourselves while as we were doing it. Yeah, why
So
am I doing this?
let's explore that, because that's a great question. Why would you two at your age, because you're young, why would you two put yourselves through the hard process of doing this? What motivates
It being a like a scary large goal, I think. I just wanted to set my sights on something bigger than I thought that I could do. And many, many nights leading up to it of doubt of like, what are we doing? I'm not gonna be able to do this. And yeah, just that fear of that initial jump that you have to take and leap to get going. It's just something I really enjoy. And the process for training for it, I almost enjoy as much as like the event itself. But now that's done, nothing beats the feeling of finishing and knowing that you've accomplished your goal and already setting your sights on another one.
Yeah, I would say that promise that I made to myself, this is what I'm signing up for, so now I am locked in for this. But also, my whole life and a large part of my relationship growing up with my dad revolved around sports, specifically soccer. He went above and beyond to be outside training with me, signing me up, paying for every extra training, everything. And we've always been very sports oriented. And then when I kind of was on this running journey, it was another really awesome way to connect with my dad through the love of another sport. And then Garrett and my dad and me all doing this together. I've got everything I need, everything I want, all my people. This is awesome. And we get to do it together.
It's awesome. Now, how do you find that, the motivation from the running and, the sense of accomplishment from what you've been able to do, how are you going to translate that into your personal lives?
Pretty much taking a page out of Tony's book, what he always has told us, it's everything in life is easier once you run 100 miles. And I agree with that. But it was maybe 24 hours after we finished, and I looked at him and I told him, I would much rather run another 100 miles at the Dome before July 18th than pack up our apartment. And I still stand by that, but it can't be as hard as running at the Dome. So,
All right,
yeah.
Emma.
I think, yeah, I mean, like, I think it really just helps to put things into perspective. Like, right away, Monday morning, I'm back at work and I have a huge project that landed on my desk. Long story short, there's 190 emails that go into this one
Oh my
project, which
gosh.
is like pretty overwhelming. And Garrett's like, you can run 100 miles. You can send 190 emails from your desk. Like, come on, you got this. And I'm like, yeah, I got this. One email at a time, just like
Yep.
1 mile at a time, one lap at a time, just helps you to like be in that moment of what you're doing. Yeah, that like perspective shift, I think, is gonna go a long way in a lot of life circumstances.
When you've gone through 100 miles, you're going to go through every emotion that you're going to
Oh,
go through in a lifetime. You're going to go through every feeling of I can, I can't. I'm done. I quit. Okay, I'm gonna get back up and go again. It's all of life encapsulated into a short amount of time, but that is what life is gonna be like.
yeah, and one thing I just kept telling myself, especially when we hit the rough patches in the Dome, it's this isn't going to last. You'll come out the other end at some point. Just got to hang on until then. And I think that's also, like you said, it's in life, it can translate to that. Now, the time periods that you may be suffering will be longer, but they will end and you will enter a new stage or a new feeling and just enjoy that moment while you can because the pain's coming again, but it's not forever. So just got to keep that in mind.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I love that you two are this young and you've already learned this. This is awesome.
I I think also doing it together, like both me and Garrett, it's a microcosm of life too, because there were times that he was really going through it and I was able to be like, no, like, we're gonna keep moving forward. Like, just come on this lap with me. Or, when I was down bad, he strapped up his shoes once he was done and he was walking a couple more miles with me because, like, we're able to, like, lean on each other in the dome, but also, like, in our day-to-day lives. So I thought it was really special to get to do it together.
Yeah, that experience is going to help you in your marriage in so many other ways. And 39 years married, and there's always a time when one of you is strong and one of you is going to need to buck up the other one. And when you got it, you got it.
Yeah, and I was so like I was, struggling, but we were going together and we were doing the math and Garrett was like, "No, like I can get this in under 24." And I'm like, "All right." I like was acting like I was like on mile one. I was like, "Come on, let's go." Like I just like put my shit aside and I was like dedicated to helping him ensure that he needed to get the last like what it was like 7 miles or so, and I was like dead set on hitting those like 4 minute laps, and I'm like, let's go. Nope, come on, come on. Like I was like totally turned into my dad.
That's
It
awesome.
was very
That is awesome. All right, well, you guys got to get ready and start packing. So let's start wrapping this thing up. So as you know, the name of the podcast is Living an Altar Life. So when you hear that phrase, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Emma, you go first.
Whenever I hear living an ultra life, I think that that's living your best life. Whatever that is for you, I think you're just doing it to the ultra, to the highest degree. And so for me, for us, it is ultra running. And now I really feel like I'm part of the ultra community where like I had, a 50K under my belt, which was cool. It was a great experience. But now that I've got a buckle, I'm like, now it's the real deal. Like, this is, I'm really an ultra runner, and it's such an awesome community full of really amazing and inspiring people, and just getting to learn from other people, and then hopefully also share some things that I learn along the way. That's my version of an ultra life.
That's awesome, Garrett.
For me, apart from 3, 4 hours of running on the weekends, I would say it's the perseverance that you need through an ultra to just bring that into your daily life. Like mentioned before, just to keep going through the hard times. There'll always be green grass on the other side, and once you get there, enjoy it while you can. It's not guaranteed forever, and as long as you just keep putting that one foot in front of the other, you'll get to where you want to be, and it'll all be worth it.
Absolutely. You guys are amazing. So glad that I got an opportunity to meet you in the dome and just, be a small part of watching you crush your goals. You guys did amazing.
Thank you
Thank you
so
so much.
much. Yeah, it was awesome to meet you, to share some miles, and to have the opportunity to chat about our race. Usually, our recaps, well, my one race recap, it's usually in the form of my dad has a blog that I made for him a couple years ago for Father's Day. And so it's a lot of writing out race recaps. I have one on there, but it was really cool to share it in real time with you.
Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedules.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.